Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here. But Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, welcome back. Busted Pencils fully leaded education talk. Nancy Bailey, our guest, talking about building back better, the infrastructure bill, except, my goodness, what about the public schools? And we were just talking before this, Nancy and Johnny reminded us before the break, Jonathan Kozol, Savage Inequalities, Shame of the Nation. And 30 years later, Nancy, is there any hope to build back better?
Well, look, there's always hope, but I think parents especially and educators need to realize that when you hear comments like students have too much seat time or students need to have education any place, any time, or just the idea that facilitators can replace teachers, that it quite possibly might be due to a push to create digital schools, digital cyber schools. And there are a lot of schools like this. You have High Tech High already that was, I think, backed by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and a lot of other corporate leaders who are very much into changing how schools work. And when you hear people like Betsy DeVos, I hate to go back to her, but she would often talk about, you know, we don't want the money to go with the school. We want it to go with the child. And I know that means choice, but I think it also means, you know, schools that will largely be tech schools. And I think that's, you know, maybe something that parents might fear. They should fear it if they didn't like the kind of setup they had through the pandemic. I feel like a lot of parents didn't like the online learning, and they recognize the importance of a teacher for their child. But I do think that they need to recognize that some of the schooling that their kids might get these days is heavily tech as well. And that with the teacher shortage now, that this could be a real possibility in the future. That's the fear I have, that our schools are being transformed this way. And you have a lot of organizations that talk a lot about this. It's not really a secret. You have Ina Call, which is now called the Aurora Institute. They had Michael Horn and Susan Patrick, who gave a presentation just a week ago about changing the way schools are. And so I think that this is happening and we need to recognize it's happening if we want to somehow save the kind of schooling that we are used to and not let people say it's old fashioned or it doesn't work. We don't know. There's no proof that tech works with kids.
Right.
The best is teachers using tech. Certainly it's not a bad thing. I don't want to say that we shouldn't use technology, of course. But to have it replace our teachers, I think, is the concern. To have it replace schools is the concern.
Let me ask Johnny, though, because you just made me think, I wasn't even going there, but the idea of possibly not building back better. Johnny, is there intentionality by not funding schools in the sense then, you know, we don't need to fix lead pipes. We don't need to fix crumbling asbestos. We don't need that because we've now got tech and online to take care of that. Is there intentionality to drive us in that direction?
I sure hope not. because that's another avenue of dismantling. One of the most important pieces of public education is the learning to convene together to make decisions in shared spaces. And certainly I think online is part of that, right? But it can't be a replacement for the core kind of face-to-face interactions. Now, flip side of that though, Tim, I do get excited because maybe we'll just say these buildings aren't up to code. They're a place no child should come to learn. No teacher wants to enter. They just get rid of them and maybe redo an entire way of thinking about education. So I get excited. Maybe we'll have more garden schools, maybe more forest schools, more outdoor learning that isn't over-romanticized like just camping and outdoor trips, but really radically rethinking the spaces that historically schools, just as a structure, made difficult to do. They separated us out really into kind of, you know, classrooms and four walls, and that was limiting to curriculum. We know that. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of, we're at a precipice moment. We talk about that a lot. But I do worry that there is a larger industry in the move to online. And so I don't want to get into the sort of the dark shadows of, you know, the how we talk about all the time, right? The corporatization of things. But I do think really when you look at, you can only fit so many kids in a building, but you can have this illusion of infinite growth if we go online, right? And so I do worry about it. I don't think it flies because in the end, I think we're seeing for teachers, families, and students, the distance learning works for some and it's necessary. We've talked about that in past shows.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, public education is a place where we learn to be together, right? And at some point, even the internet goes down and we're still together, right? The power goes out and we're still together. And so we need to be able to practice that and we need to be able to figure out what those spaces look like. My optimism is in that those buildings are so far gone that we radically rethink what it means to come together in public spaces. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll look different. Maybe they'll look more like interactive learning spaces, maybe more like school gardens and public shared decision-making spaces. But, you know,
and Johnny, where will the teachers fit in that though? Where will teachers fit in?
Side by side, just like the gardener teaching people in the garden what needs to be planted there. So it's like an exchange of elder wisdom. We can't do education without teachers, right? And we can't expect everything to work online. I mean, it's just setting us ourselves up for further failure. Mm-hmm. So I do worry about it. But I think I have a lot of optimism in that you can only put a Band-Aid on cancer for so long. And I think we're done putting Band-Aids on our public school system. And it's not an easy transition, but it's one. Tim, a few weeks ago, we had another wise teacher like Nancy join us and say, it's been hard, but as a retired teacher, we've had to say no to going back in and saving the classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a refusal of love, because schools have to change and they won't change if we keep swooping in and fixing them. And I think that's something that I hope more and more teachers are saying. It doesn't work when you put more and more responsibility on the teacher and more children in the classroom or some online and just keep pouring it onto teachers. So I have both hope and cynicism about the system.
Nancy, what do you think about Johnny's hope? Hey, forget about lead pipes, forget about asbestos, knock them down. Let's redo the whole darn thing.
Well, I think that's easier said than done. I think that there are still, you know, I get a little queasy when I hear people just talking about project-based learning, for example. Everything's project-based learning. Well, kids still need to understand math. They still need to know how to be good readers and to be able to comprehend what they read. They need still the subjects. And I think I'm not one, you know, I believe you can do those subjects across the curriculum, but I think you also still need to specialize in the subjects to understand them. And project-based learning, we all like projects, but I think sometimes students are left to do that on their own too much. So it would take, I think, a lot of work by teachers to figure out new and different ways to accommodate children in public education.
Okay.
It's different.
So I'm going to go now, so we'll make this pivot. Donnie, wonderful thinking, beautiful. We love you. But dude, get real is what I hear Nancy saying. Hey, man.
When we come back from the break, we can get real and drop Catherine Ferguson Academy, Ensoroma Institute, Grace Boggs Center. I can name school after school, and I do. It's my job, right, to drop mad knowledge about the examples and the counterexamples of we have of what's possible when we imagine justice in education. And when we center it on bioregions, and it's local, it's situational, it's in support of living systems. And as a teacher with a master's degree and a PhD in mathematics, who then went into teaching, it was like, you, Nancy is absolutely right. You have to have content specificity, and you have to be able to make it real life. Couldn't be realer than the teaching I got to do and see and witness in Detroit. So when we come back, if we want to ask questions about, is it possible? I'll tell you exactly step by step. Here's what it means to say no and say yes to a plethora of alternatives.
There it is. So more Busted Pencils when we get back from the break. Thanks for being with us tonight.